Amen, church. Good morning. Oh, wow. Before I actually go into my preach, I just want to share something with my friend here, Andy. I shared during the prayer time this morning, and he had a vision. And interesting, though, the vision really connects with the message that I'm speaking about this morning. He told me about, he said he saw a vision of a staircase, and he just really believes that, you know, it's time for people to, you know, climb up the staircase, isn't it, Andy? Yeah, it's time to climb up the staircase of heaven in encounter with Jesus. So this morning's message, and I preached this last weekend when we were away in Dinnington at an Assemblies of God church. And it was received really well. Like, loads of people came to the front and just really came to encounter Jesus. Loads of people that they've never experienced a deep, intimate encounter with Jesus came and encountered a deep, intimate encounter with Jesus. Basically means people got delivered right there from things that they were struggling with, depression, anxiety. People who have been struggling with their identity in Christ, they've encountered Jesus right there that weekend. We've seen healings happen. We've seen people saved. We've seen people rededicating their lives to Jesus. Because one encounter with Jesus transforms everything in your life. You know, it has done for me too. You know, let me tell you this. You know, when you first meet your wife, you know, your your husband, the person that you know you're going to get married to eventually. You know, it's like you encounter that person and you're like, wow, you know, this person is amazing. I want to spend time with this person as much as I can. I don't know if anybody has that. You know, when you first met your partner, that you're like, ooh, I just want to really spend time with him or with her. And just, you know, spend every single hour, every single minute, every single second you want to spend with your partner because you're so in love with him or you're so in love with her. That was for me. You know, when I met Angela about in 2014, I knew immediately that she was going to become my wife. I got so smitten with her. Like, I was like, I need to get to know her. I need to be friends. And eventually, you know, rest is history, even though she wasn't attracted to me at first and didn't like me. Don't worry. You know what the amazing thing is with Jesus? He already likes you, whether you like him or not. But so I liked her so much. And I was like, I want to be friends with you. I walked up to her. She thinks I was starting to stalk her on Facebook. And I would literally try to, you know, talk every single time with Angela. And eventually she gave in. She gave me a chance to go on a date with her. and during the second day, we started courting. You know, we started to have a relationship because I asked her to be my girlfriend. And 5 months after... You know, after we spend time together, you get to know each other. We got engaged after 5 months. And 6 months later, we stepped into the wedding boat and got married. We're now almost married 6 years. In July this year, we'll be 6 years of being married. Amen. Yeah, you can clap for that. It hasn't been an easy journey. But you know what? The message I want to talk to you about today is called Real Jesus Encounters. You know, the same way that I encountered Angela and spent time with her and really wanted to be with her every single minute, every single second of the day, then the same thing, you know, it's really important for us to have this encounter with Jesus where we want to spend day and night, every second, every minute of the day in the secret place with Jesus. Right. I should have written a, print out the notes. But what does an encounter mean? It means encounter is about entering into this relationship through real, authentic experiences and recognizing His presence in our lives and in others. So this basically means that when you encounter Jesus, your life is not yours anymore. Your life belongs to Him. He wants you to have a real, authentic experience with Him that would change the course of your entire life. You will start recognizing His presence in your life. And eventually, His presence will overflow from your life into the lives of others. Amen? Amen. Right, let us just go in scriptures. We're going to look at encounters in the Bible, and I'm going to take you on this journey for the next, for the next 20, hopefully next 20 minutes, because I really want to give you an opportunity today to come and encounter Jesus. Because I can be preaching here, and I can preach on encountering Jesus. But you need to have that experience for yourself, that you come and you sit at the feet of Jesus and ask him, Lord, what are you saying to me? You know, that's encounter. It's about spending time with him and letting him speak to you. You know, encountering him is hearing his voice. Encountering him is just being in the secret place, being the resting place with Jesus. Right. Let us just go into scriptures. This was a story in the Bible. Zacchaeus, when he encountered Jesus, he gave half his belongings to the poor and paid others back four times as much as to anyone he had cheated on. So Luke 19, verse 1 till 10. And I'm just going to, you know, point out a couple of things that in this scripture. So in verse 1, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region. And he had become very rich. So he was a rich man. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Right, verse 3, it says he tried to get a look at Jesus. You know, there are people here today, and maybe you're sitting here this morning, and, you know, you've been coming to church every single Sunday, but every single time you're like, right, I want to have an actual look, you know, at who Jesus is. You know, us as believers, you know, people will see you and see your behavior and see how you are in the world. And there are people there that are looking, and they want to have a look at Jesus. They want to have a look at your life. And they want to have a look whether, do you live your life as Jesus would want us to live it? You know that we are the only Jesus that people meet and that people see. Because obviously Jesus is not here in person, but he lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So you are the only Jesus that people see. So if we're in the world and there's people in the world there that, you know, want to have a look at Jesus, but, you know, there's limitations, and limitations are holding people back from actually looking at Jesus. So you might know people that don't know Jesus, and they have this, you know, this struggle of like, I really want to encounter Jesus. I want to meet with him. But I feel like, I'm too depressed, I'm too anxious, or I'm addicted, so Jesus would never meet with me. But Jesus wants to meet with you. Jesus wants to meet with the people outside in the world. But Jesus is, God is looking for people like you and me that really shine the light of Jesus into this dark world and show them who Jesus is by your actions, by your character, by the way how you do things in life. So Jesus is asking from us, are we a true light in this dark world? The Bible says that we are the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth. No, we should not lose our taste. So how do we not lose our taste? Daily being in the intimate place with Jesus. Encountering him on a daily basis. Spending time in the Word. Spending time praying, listening, hearing from him. Right. So there's these people out there that think they have limitations, so they can't encounter Jesus. They can't meet with him. But let me tell you today, if you're sitting here and you've never given your life to Jesus, you're constantly coming into church and you're constantly looking and looking and looking and looking. You're like, well, you know, I've got limitations. I can't do this. I can tell you now, you can. Because with Jesus, nothing is impossible. You know, Jesus is right here, right now for you here to meet with you right where you're at. If you think that you're in a place that you can't have an encounter with Jesus, where you can't hear God's voice, let me give you some news today. That's a lie of the enemy. Because Jesus is here. Jesus is right here, right today. Right. So, he ran ahead. So he ran and climbed the sycamore fig tree. So there are people, you know, they're so hungry to know who Jesus is. There's so many people out there in the world that need you to show the glory, show the presence of Jesus in the darkest of places. So that people come and running into church. They come and run into your home. Because they want to see, they want to see, they want to hear what Jesus has done for you. And who Jesus is for you. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. We need to come to a place where people are hungry, where people are like, hey, I want what you have. I want to meet with you. I want you to tell me everything you know about Jesus. I want you to tell me everything you know about having a relationship with him. That's what it's about. Zacchaeus, he ran ahead. He was like, I need to see Jesus. So I want to tell you today, if you are here and you have limitations and you think you can never meet with Jesus, I would tell you to run. Run after the service. Come run to the front on your knees and meet with Jesus today. Because he wants to meet with you. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you the incredible life of joy, of peace, of happiness, of adventure. Obviously, living with Jesus is not easy, but you know we need to run the race, and when we run the race, you know we will finish well, if you continue running the race well with Jesus. So he wants to meet with you today. Right. So he ran, and then, of course, in verse 5. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Jesus is calling you by name today. You know, if you don't know Jesus, he's calling you by name. He's calling you by name. You know, you are so important to him. If not the most important to him. You're the most important to him. He knows you. And he wants you to come to him today. He wants you to come. And lay aside all your struggles, all your shortcomings, and meet with him. He wants to come and have a meal at your house. He wants to have fellowship with you. Jesus said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. You know, I believe that today as well, you and me, with unbelievers, with people that don't know Jesus, you should be like, hey, come to my house, come and have fellowship with me. And let me tell you all about Jesus. Can I come and have fellowship with you? I know I might, you know, I don't know, might step on some toes here, but come on, we need to become a generous people. That doesn't just mean generous with money. That means generous with inviting people to our homes that don't know Jesus. Inviting them and spend time with them. You know, people that maybe are never invited to anybody's home. Invite them to your home. I mean, me and Angela, quite a few years ago, we had a drug addict living in our home. We discipled him for 3 months straight. We discipled him. We spent hours and hours and hours ministering to him. You know why? Because that's what Jesus would do. We spent hours having him in our house. You know, he slept in our house. You know, he had his relapses. He went back doing, you know, he was on, I don't know, crack or something. He was on crack cocaine. But we spent time with him. And you know what? It makes a difference. You know, you might be the only person that people know that they really need an encounter with Jesus. You might be the only person that this person knows that is open to receive somebody into your home, or you go to that, you know, to the home of that person. I want to challenge you today. If you know of somebody that is stuck in addiction, that is stuck in I don't know what, ask him, can I come around to your home? Am I allowed to come? May I come and have some food with you? I will pay. I will cook in your home. Or invite that person around to your home and spend time with him. You know, there's so many people out there that are like an outcast, that are not loved, that are being like spit out by the world. But we as a church should get them in. Spend time with them. I know, and just that invitation for you to invite that person into your home, or you go to the home of that person and you spend fellowship with him. Not just to get something out of it, but just simply spend time with that person. I tell you, that person is going to open up and is going to ask you loads and loads of questions about why are you doing this? Well, that's because I love Jesus and I love you. Because Jesus loved you. And he wants to get to know you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. You know, right there, that's him having an encounter with Jesus. Because you are there. Because Christ lives in you. So they will have an encounter with the presence of God in their home or in your home. And you know what's amazing? As soon as Jesus asked him to come into the home, you know, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. He was excited. You know, somebody invited him to come and spend time with him. Whereas nobody, no believer, none important person would spend time with him. You know, today in this world, there are people that will get excited and will get full of joy if you come and spend time with that person. Because nobody wants to actually spend time with somebody. So if you go spend time with that person, I bet you. Oh, we're not allowed to bet here. But I can tell you, I can promise you. Maybe at first that person might be a bit like reserved, like, oh, what do you want to come and do in my house? Or what do you, you know, why do you want me to come into, you know, why do you want me to come to your house? But you explain to them, listen, I want to spend time with you. You know, I want to get to know you. You know, it's all about building relationship. Encountering Jesus is all about building relationship with him. In the same way, it's all about building relationships with the world outside there, with people outside. Obviously, we're not of this world. We're not of this world, but we do live in it. So we can't be living a life where we only hang out with only Christians. We need to hang out with non-believers and influence them. Right? Why are we church? We are church. We are the living body of Christ. We got to spend time with people that don't know him. Like, it's so easy to be like, right, I'll just spend time with my own people. You know, that's what it would call elitism. That's elitism. We only want to spend time with our own people, like Christians. How is the world going to know about Jesus? How are people in the world going to encounter Jesus if we only spend time only with our own kind, in that sense? We got to spend time with him. We got to spend time with people that don't know Jesus. Right. So eventually, the people were displeased. You know, there's so many people that might be displeased and like, oh, what? Are you going to spend time with this person? Well, this person is a sinner. He cheated people on their taxes. He's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. You know, so many people out there that will judge you and say, well, why are you going to spend time with this person? Because this person is an addict. This person was a criminal. This person was a murderer. Why do you want to spend time with him? Why do you want to visit him in prison to disciple him? You know, I think it's absolutely incredible what Pastor David is doing in the prison, in Buckley Hall prison. He is doing what exactly Jesus was doing here. He goes into the prison and spends time with the prisoners who would maybe are doing life sentences and that sort of stuff because of murder or whatever. But he spends time with them. He disciples them. He fellowships with them in prison when he goes there. No, that's what I call true character. He really carries the character of Jesus. Because Jesus would go into prison and spend time with the prisoners. He spent time with the prostitutes. You know what would be amazing? That this church will be filled with tons of people that are maybe, you know, spit out by society. Like, obviously, we got many testimonies of people here who have gone through that. And have encountered Jesus and has changed their lives. So he has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek to save those and to save those who are lost. You know, when we come into a place of encounter with Jesus, everything changes for us. Our character changes. Everything. Let me see. Oh, dear. Right. So basically what I'm trying to say here, the conclusion of this part of the story is that, you know, you might be here, you might be like Zacchaeus. And you've never had this real life encounter with Jesus. You've never met with him the way that other people have met with him. Jesus is here today to meet with you. But I'm also encouraging us as believers, as the church, go and spend time with non-believers. Go and spend time with those that never have heard about the gospel. Go and spend time in our house as an adult. You know, spend time with them. Like maybe there's an addicted neighbor that's living next to you. Ask him, can I come around your house? Can I spend time with you? Or shall we go out? I'm going to treat you for a coffee. Let's hang out. I want to encourage you. I really want to encourage you. Not just encourage you, but I want to challenge you, Church of Jesus Christ. And I really hope you get my heart here. I want us to be a church that truly knows how to love Jesus and truly knows how to love our community. A church that truly knows how to spend time in the secret place with Jesus. You know, without encounters with Jesus, our lives will be boring. If we don't have that deep, intimate relationship with Him, I'm sorry, but if I didn't read the Bible without having that real relationship with Jesus, the Bible is dead to me. Because the letter kills, but with the Spirit comes alive. You know, when you read scriptures, when you read the Bible through the Holy Spirit, you know, it comes alive. So I just want to encourage you today to just spend time with Jesus. So why do we need an encounter with Jesus? I know I've got, I've got maybe 7 minutes left. Lord Jesus, help. Why do we need an encounter with Jesus? To become like Him. So Galatians 2:17-21, it says, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. So that's verse 17. Then go on to verse 20. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. Well, then it further says, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. If we want to become like Christ, we got to lay down our old life. We got to lay down. You know, God wants us to make ourselves right with Him. He wants to reconcile with us. And you have an invitation to reconcile with God. So we are seek to make right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. What would that mean, that Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. No, we've not abandoned the law. You know, Christ died and fulfilled the law. So basically means, you know, we are a new creation. So if we want to become like Him, basically means we need to change our character. Jesus changes our character. If you truly have encountered Jesus, your character will be changed. You will be less prideful. You will be less selfish. You will be less self-centered. Care more about others than just ourselves. To become like Him is to sacrifice ourselves so that He becomes more in us and we become less. I mean, I must be honest, I'm preaching to myself here as well. You know, it's a daily surrender to Jesus, a daily surrender to Jesus. We daily need to give our lives to Him. That means daily spending time in the Word. Daily spending time in here, you know, sitting with the Lord and hearing from Him. You know, my old self has been crucified. That basically means we got to crucify our flesh. You know, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. But what it says is that, you know, so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So somewhere else it says as well that, you know, I live through faith in Christ. It is. Like, you know, yes, our flesh is weak, but our spirit is strong. So we need that encounter. We need encounter with Jesus. We need to spend daily time with Jesus for Him to change our character, for Him to transform us into His image. Because we are perfectly made in the image of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. To live in holiness and purity, because we have 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, it says, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. And let us work towards complete holiness because we fear God. Amen, Dad. Amen. So we need to cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body. We need to live in holiness and purity. You know one of the ways to live in holiness and purity? It's to stop gossiping. So much gossip in the church, you know, in the wider church, in the Western world. So many people gossip about each other. So many people speak badly about each other behind each other's back. Is that becoming like Jesus? Is that living in holiness and purity? I don't think so. That's why we need an encounter with Jesus. That's why we need to daily surrender ourselves to Him, so that we get rid of our old nature. Because our old nature just likes to talk about everyone. I mean, trust me, I used to be a gossip. I confess, I used to be a gossip. I liked talking to other people about other people. And I soon realized that actually, if I talk bad about people, I talk bad about Jesus. So if there's anybody in here that gossips about people, you need to stop in the name of Jesus. And let Jesus transform your character, transform your character. To live a life surrendered to the Great Commission. You know, we've been given all of God. Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I give you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. You know, when we encounter Jesus, the reason why we need an encounter with Jesus is so that we live a life surrendered to the Great Commission, preaching and teaching the Word of God. Because without the Spirit of God, you can teach, but it wouldn't come alive for people. Maybe not even for yourself. We need that encounter with Jesus to live a life surrendered to the Great Commission. You know, because it's the Holy Spirit. It's in that encounter with Jesus, you get fired up to preach the gospel, to teach the Word of God to people that maybe are, you know, maybe understand maybe things less and just need some extra help, you know, in understanding scriptures, right? What happens when we encounter Jesus? Our character changes. You know, it says in Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Your former way of life. What's your former way of life? It's everything that you did before you met Jesus. You need to throw it off you. If you are still living, you know, in your old life in some ways, get rid of it. Throw it off. Meet with Jesus today and encounter Him afresh today. Right. Which is corrupted by lust and deception. Verse 23, it says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. You know, we need to have our attitudes and our thoughts being renewed. You know, let yourself be renewed through you know, with the mind of Christ. Yeah? Church? You get it? Amen. Right. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Right, I'm going to stop there. There's so many things that I really felt like sharing. Indeed, just what the thing he said as well, you know, you become generous. You know, James was talking about generosity. You know, when you encounter Jesus, you become generous. Generous with your finances. Generous with your time. Generous with your activities. Like you just want to give yourself to anything within the local church. You know, if we talk about the vision enlargement for this year, encountering Jesus brings enlargement in your life. So without an encounter with Jesus, there's no enlargement in your life. We can do so many activities. We can put up so many things. But if we just do it because we just want to do it, without having, you know, this, you know, without having people, giving people the opportunity to encounter Jesus during these activities, then it's just activities for activity's sake. So if we do things, let us do it with the purpose for people to meet Jesus. I'm just talking generally, and you know, right, okay. I just want to ask the worship team to come up.